Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hey, I would like to wish all our veterans a good Veterans Day. You see a veteran? Get out there and buy them some lunch or something, or give to any of the veterans things going on. A lot of good causes. The USO is still around. Very good today. And to do with that? Yeah. Okay. Well, today we got a great guest coming on. Yes, we got our friend, Jed Morey, who wrote The Great American Disconnect, which kind of goes hand in hand today with Veterans Day, don't you think? I do. I certainly do. And I'd like to start off with someone looking for a song here that would be appropriate. I'm working on a new computer, so bear with me on this. Anyway, he's a great writer, and it's great. You need people to do controversy and get it going and getting everybody thinking. But let's hear it for the soldiers first. How about that? Just a little quickie. Jed Mori is the publisher of the Long Island Press and Long Island's Cultural Arts and Investigative News Journal. He received his undergraduate degree from Skidmore College and a master's in business administration from Hofstra. So that means he's super smart. Mori authors a column titled Off the Reservation and is a staunch advocate for Indian rights. Go, Mori. Okay. All right. Now, his column also was voted best column in New York by the New York Press Association in 2010 and third overall in the nation among alternative publication by the Association of Alternative News Media in 2012. He's got a lot going on. So we're going to bring him on right now, Jed Mori. And I see you there. And I'm opening your mic.
Hey, Nancy.
Jed, can you hear me? There you, that
I
was.
Sure
I thought that song was appropriate to bring you on with.
That was pretty stellar. I have to say that was amazing.
And you've done a lot of things, not just your new book that's out, The Great American Disconnect, which is, I thought Veterans Day was a great day to do the interview, just because we do live in a society where you can voice your opinions and not get beat up for showing an ankle or your face. So this is great. Seven fundamental threats to our democracy, and what a political hotbed time this is for your book to come out in, which is great. So let's hear a little bit of the backstory on you as a writer, Jed. Could you lead us through it? When did you start writing?
Sure. I wrote in college for the college newspaper, and I ironically authored a very conservative column at a very liberal arts school because I think I was born a contrarian, and I don't know why I like to pick fights with people, but and then rested the pen for several years, but found an opportunity on Long Island to start an alternative newspaper, and there was none in the market at the time, and so we had we started up, and it's been so far an amazing 11-year run, and I started authoring a column for the paper about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's a true joy. It's beyond a labor of love.
And how did you come about your interest in politics and political writing?
Boy, that's something you either have or you don't. It's it's like a sickness. It's a disease, and once it grabs hold of you, it doesn't seem to let go. I mean, watching elections for me is like the Super Bowl. And I love it, and I can't get enough of it. I love the local retail politics. I love the mudslinging. I love the way the news media interacts and the big ideas, but also the small ball and the chess that comes along with it. And it's, like I said, it's more of a sickness than anything. With a Congress that has about a 5% approval rating, how can you consider it anything other than a disease of the mind to be interested in this nonsense?
And the only way people are going to find out what's going on is to read everything, not just to read one side or the other. I think it's very good to read everything and read every side, and I think you try to present a lot of that in your new book, The Great American Disconnect. And I got to tell you, you're very smart. I had to look
wow.
up some of those
Thanks.
Words. So I'm like, oh, I got to go backwards here. We have in the chat room Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters. Hey, Betty Jo, it might be good for you to do political films. That's another radio show listening to us right now. Maybe you could do an episode on political films or films about politics. That would be good. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, Tuesday at 4 p.m. So that's great. So you did that. Now, you're also located on Long Island. Were you affected by Hurricane Sandy?
Our offices were actually displaced for a couple of weeks. And even though we were in Syosset, which is more the middle of the island, not near any of the shores. The weather blew through. We didn't have power at our offices for a couple of weeks, and it was the first time that we actually, because it happened on our deadline, it was the very first time that we actually didn't go to print with the print edition of the Long Island Press.
And how did we find Long Island Press, by the way? Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Finish.
No, but considering the devastation that was wrought through, most of the South Shore in particular, it was not having power for a couple of weeks was really no big deal.
Yeah, and consider what's going on in the Philippines as well. What is the website for Long Island Press? Can you just say that, please?
Sure. It's longislandpress.com. And we've been daily on that website for a couple of years now, and that's really been, it's a difficult time for the print media business, but the website has really been the saving grace because it allows us to be competitive in a minute to minute, but also not get lost in only doing brief news stories and brief updates. We still take our time to do the bigger stuff and investigative pieces. That's really more to our core. But the website, longislandpress.com, has been very robust over the last couple of years, and people have really come to trust us and love us out here. So it's been great.
Well, you seem really, as you said, like a football fan of politics, close to your subjects, but you also seem deeply involved. Can you tell us a little bit about your connection to Occupy Wall Street?
Sure. Occupy Wall Street it was fortunate that the genesis of it was right here, that it was in Wall Street, that it was something that we could go and report on directly ourselves and have access to. It wasn't some remote idea because, we're still a local news organization. But Occupy was great because we do some financial reporting. Personally, I dumped a lot of reporting on Wall Street and, in particular, speculation in the commodities market. And so I understood a lot of these issues, and I had already, I'd always wondered why they weren't spoken of more often. And then Occupy came along, and all of a sudden, it was like you're standing next to, somebody who's like, hey, man, we need to roll cigarettes faster, okay, because, we're getting inundated. And then you turn around, and somebody's having this incredibly erudite conversation about reinstating Glass-Steagall and all the whys and the wherefores surrounding it. It was like being in Oz. It was for a few weeks. It was the greatest.
Well, I think that's one of the great things about New York is the accessibility of the people, and the sharing of thoughts. You go to certain areas and you start to talk to somebody and you go, oh, there's no way this person's even going to listen to my point of view. And New York is so diverse a collection of people that makes it so interesting. And also, you're involved in a lot of things. You're on the board of the Holocaust Museum at Big Brothers Sisters of Long Island and the Green Movement. Is that correct?
Yeah, those two, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, has been a part of my life for about 20 years. I actually became a Big Brother when I lived up in Saratoga Springs. And I still talk, often with my little brother right now. He's actually participating in Movember. That's how long we've been together. He's old enough to grow a mustache. And I love that organization. We got very active. When I moved back to Long Island, I was very active with them, and my wife and I are both active with the Holocaust Memorial and Tolerance Center. It's right around the corner from where we live, and it's actually amazing to believe that it's even there. One of the most impressive organizations. They teach tolerance, essentially, peace through understanding and using lessons of the Holocaust. So you walk in, and it's very overpowering, but it's not morbid. It's really, it has a different type of message, and they're trying to influence multiple generations
too, because you're everywhere, Jed. You're that's not far from the Native American Museum, and you're involved with the Native Americans as well.
Yeah, in Garvey's Point, that's right. I've done a lot of reporting over the last few years on the reservation system, focusing on New York State. The system is a little bit different, and the circumstances are obviously different when you travel around the country. So I've gotten to know some of the leadership and then some incredible people within the Indian community around the state. And there's politics, and then there's Indian politics. And if you have a head for messy politics, it's even the Indian politics are, that's like a whole other level.
Well, that's what I like about your book, is that you're not just coming out of nowhere. You are an evolved individual, it would seem, from what I've researched about you, and that you do care about your topic that you're talking about and speaking about, and you do it. You can tell there's a lot of passion that goes into the book as well. We have a chat room, I don't know if you know that, with Blog Talk Radio, and in it we have Betty Jo Tucker right now and Steve Mendoza, and they want to compliment you. Jed has a great radio voice. Very nice, Jed. Do you like that? Did you happen to be a radio announcer at one time?
Did you do any radio? I come from a long line of broadcasters. I never went into the broadcast side of things because my dad was a voiceover artist. So when you grow up with somebody who actually sounds like you would imagine God to sound, you don't ever think that you're going to be able to do that yourself. My dad actually sounds like the Lord. It's very strange.
That's very funny. Yeah. So you have some show business there, and I believe your wife is also in show business?
She is. She's a singer-songwriter.
Eden White. I was thinking of Ellen White because she happened to work with Kellogg's. It's a long story, but Eden White. And that's great. I wish I'd known earlier. I would have played some of her music as part of the show today. So you do have that. Okay, now let's talk about the book, okay? So
okay.
Tell us your thoughts. What was the impetus for you wanting to produce this book, The Great American Disconnect?
It came out of writing a series of columns that I started a few years ago, beginning with oil speculation. I had asked a colleague of mine during the oil spike of 2008, I just don't understand why prices would react this way. It didn't seem like that oil prices were reflected in any of the normal market conditions. And so I drilled into that. I started writing about it and realized that the oil price and the oil spike had to do with the investor speculation and nothing to do with market conditions. And I started a column series called The Season of Our Disconnect, because so many issues to me, it seems, were completely disconnected from reality. And our perception of them was disconnected from reality. You know, this idea that we are a great benevolent nation, but we're always at war. The idea that we are the purveyors of liberty, but we have the highest incarceration rate in the United States, or in the world. And so I wanted to look at these issues and say, you know, so why do we have this perception of ourselves, and how did we get to this point? And that's what led to compiling the book, which is really just a compendium of ideas and columns that I've worked on over the years, but really had the opportunity to flesh them out into a singular narrative.
But you have seven fundamental threats to our democracy. So they're broken into chapters, right? Or seven ones.
Yes.
Okay. The first one being?
At least in presentation for the book, it's deregulation, speculation, fundamentalism, the assault on liberty, militarization, incarceration, and manufactured consent. And I pulled those together in that way because one sort of explains the other, and they're building blocks. It's one thing to say, oh, okay, there's rampant speculation in the markets, and that's causing food prices to jump, and that's why people are starving. Okay, but how were they able to do that in the first place? And you have to tell the story of deregulation. So I see them as building blocks, and the fun part for me was putting together like puzzle pieces to try and explain this political malaise that we have right now. Because I think people are curious. It's, you know, when you see its problems in front of you, it's like it's an itch that you have to scratch, and that's what I was trying to do, is, you know, get below the surface and figure out how we got here.
And how do you think, because, and this is nothing to do with your book, but I also think I tell my son, when you're watching TV, remember there are three sides to every story, his, hers, and the truth, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. you have to listen to everything to get the right thing. How do you see it moving now in the journalistic world?
That is a great
Because I do see it biased.
Question.
I do see a lot of bias. I go, wait a minute, this seems a little imbalanced mm-hmm. sometimes. So what are your feelings about that?
I'm a great fan of bias, and I think that that organizations and news organizations should be more authentic in their presentation of bias. I think, you know, we're people, and people have natural bias, and that's something that does come across in good reporting at sometimes. There are stories that are deservedly balanced, and then there are stories that are just, it's inappropriate to give them total balance, because if you, as a reporter, or a journalist or a writer or an author, know something to be a lie, to give it equal weight and credibility with something that's the truth is inappropriate and very dangerous. So I'm all about bias, and if you have a bias one way or the other, then put it out there. Just be authentic about it and explain to people why you got there. And that's like, you know, in the book, there are certain things that I have, you know, just a very outward bias toward. What I'm doing is backing it up and saying, yeah, I have a bias toward that, but here's why. And this is, and so challenge me on the root causes of it, just not on how you, on how something makes you feel. So
I think it's also it's a show business saying, without conflict, there is no resolution.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to have conflict.
And great stories.
And I love when people debate. I'm not a great debater because, honestly, I don't know a lot. I know what's I try to go from my heart with a lot of things, and I listen to everybody and then form my own opinion and keep it to myself, and I go that route. But it's true that you do need somebody out there, and you need a book like The Great American Disconnect to learn, which is just part of it.
People do not read enough.
Go ahead.
Everyone should have one. Everyone should have a copy of this book. I think it's your fundamental
American
duty.
Where is this available, by the way, Jed? I forgot to say that. Where can you get the book? Tell the people where they can get the book.
Yeah, you know, most of the time I'm selling it out of my trunk on the corner of Madison and 34th. So you can find me there, and or if it's easier, you can go online. It's available on any of the major online
retailers.
Is it
on Amazon?
Paperback.
Can they get it on Amazon?
You bet. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, most of the major partners online. And then
is it on Kindle
the paperback
yet?
Will be, yep, oh, okay. It's available on Kindle.
Okay,
and
good to know, Betty.
Available at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, you're in good company because I believe John Grisham sold his books out of a trunk of his car, too. And now they're worth, he said the first, and he only made like 500 of the first one or something, and I think they're worth 5,000 now if you have the original copy, hardback, that he made. So you're in good company there. And did you know there's a show on FX called Totally Biased? Somebody just posted that in the chat room. Okay.
Oh, I love it.
Totally biased. But it's great. So let's get the websites again, Jed.
Okay. For the book, if you log on to AmericanDisconnect.com, I'll tell you all about the book and the incredible editor, Christopher Twarski, that I had access to. He's the editor-in-chief of the Long Island Press, and he did me the incredible favor and good fortune of actually editing this book. And so there's information about him on there. And if you go to longislandpress.com, you can read our plucky newspaper's editorials. And or jedmorey.com.
I love that word.
More
plucky.
Right?
Hey, Jed, do me a favor. Do you have a passage maybe you'd like to read for us?
Sure. I can give you something from the introduction just to
just
give
for a flavor.
Your audience a little flavor, an idea of how obnoxious I am. Reading from the introduction, Americans are trapped by the conviction that we live in a free society despite having the highest incarceration rate per capita of any nation in the world. We see ourselves as the purveyors of peace and democracy, having defeated the communist menace and dethroned dictators, yet no other nation in modern times has initiated unprovoked foreign wars more than we have or dropped a nuclear bomb on its enemies. And many of the dictators we've overthrown are of our own creation, yet cease to be useful in our imperialistic endeavors. We believe in the theory of fair competition and the ability to achieve success through hard work and discipline, but exist within a system that discourages competitiveness and has consolidated 40% of the nation's wealth into the hands of 1% of the population. Our state of denial has caused us to drift far from the nation we believe ourselves to be, while holding tightly to an image of the nation we wish to be. There
you go. It's so true when you say that too, because I, like I say, I don't get into large political fights because I'm open, but I'm ignorant to a lot of things. But I do know that part about, for instance, Marcos. He was just like a stool pigeon for the government who became head of a country. So you know, he worked with the government.
Yeah, we've behaved terribly in many parts of the world, and you know, and then have at least a good enough propaganda machine to act and surprised and have the public act surprised when these things fall apart. And I think that's many of those chickens have come to roost, certainly in South and Central America and the Middle East. And like I said, it's okay. If you're going to play big geopolitical games, then you have to also be aware of the consequences. And in this case, the consequences is a public that is waking up and beginning to really understand in this information age what the government is doing. And I think that there's a big backlash approaching.
And it's sad because I don't think the young people today really, really have a grip on what's going on. You know, we grew up with less media, I mean, games or whatever. We played outside, basically. But they really don't research. They have high opinions, but I think very little research.
You know, it's
they didn't
it's
grow
funny
up with the stories like, when I was your age, we didn't have food, you know.
You know, I've seen it really from both sides. I think that I've noticed that young people have a far better BS detector than older people. Like, I've never gotten one of those bad email threads that just has lie after lie after lie about a politician from somebody who's under 30. But, because they seem to be able to vet information better, and they know when they're getting a bill of goods sold to them. They certainly have a much wider grip on issues, I think, than we did growing up or generations before us. How deep it is, though, is certainly another question. So, you know, I would contend that this is probably the most well-informed generation coming up that we've ever seen. The question is, will they take the time to really dig into an issue and have the fortitude to do something about something when it comes to it? Don't know about
it. And especially, you seem so involved. Do you have children as well?
I do. I have two girls,
yeah.
10 and 7, the lights of my
and
life.
And are they politically involved? I'm just curious.
My youngest is probably going to be president. Or in jail.
Oh, okay.
it's either one. And the jail wouldn't be for anything violent. It would be a nonviolent crime for insider trading or something like that. She's pretty smart. And my eldest is a true artist. She's a butterfly, and God help us if she's politically involved. I don't think she's much better creating things, and she'll do something incredible in the music world. She has her mother's talent.
Oh, really? Well, give your wife a plug. Say her website.
Yeah, Eden White, her music is available on iTunes, and if you go to CD Baby, you can still get a couple of her CDs that she put out back in the day before I ruined everything by giving her children. but, yeah, she's still very active in the songwriting community, and she is a force to be reckoned with.
Well, that's great. It's really great. The Great American Disconnect, 7 Fundamental Threats of Our Democracy, available on Amazon and everywhere you want. Follow WWW, the Long Island Press, as well, to be updated on what's going on. I love it that there's books out here like this that we can go to and check out these things, because we don't have enough of that. We don't have enough of that, and it's a good holiday gift, right?
Oh,
to that heady relative
gift.
Of yours. Who thinks they know everything.
You know,
you go, oh yeah, have you read Jed Morey's book?
And I would say it's really even the perfect gift for Thanksgiving, because what's better than arguing over politics with your family at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, especially at Thanksgiving. That's the best part. You
Absolutely.
Want to do that. Well,
Absolutely.
Jed, can you believe a half hour has flown by? So say your websites again.
You bet. It's the blog is jedmorey.com, JEDMOREY. The book is AmericanDisconnect.com. The name of the book is The Great American Disconnect, available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere else online you buy books.
Can they follow you on Facebook? Do you
sure.
have a site for the book?
Why not?
What's the site?
Yeah, Facebook. You can look up The Great American Disconnect on Facebook or follow me on Twitter at Jed Morey.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on today's show. And we'll have to end the show with a special shout-out to one of my favorite authors, Alison Grams. Get everything she writes. She's brilliant and funny as well. Thank you, Jed Morey, for being on the show. The Great American Disconnect. Check it out. And if you see a veteran out there, offer it. Can I buy you a cup of coffee or meal, something? Give back to the veterans any way you can, especially the holiday season. Thank you so much, Jed, for joining us today.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you. I really appreciate it. You beat me to the punch. Thank you, Alison Grams.
Alison Grams rocks. Bye now. Okay, let's end with a patriotic song, shall we, for our soldiers? Betty Jo Tucker tomorrow, Movie Attic Headquarters, 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, and The Steve Mendoza Show on Dream Stream Radio. That Alison Graham, she's one funny broad. On CD Baby. This is Nancy Lombardo, your host of Comedy Concepts, Blog Talk Radio.